Welcome, councillors. I'd like to run through some housekeeping arrangements. Please note that this meeting is being recorded and the sound recording will be made available on the council's website. Under the openness of local government bodies regulations, people may film, record, tweet or blog this meeting, and this is outside the council's control. I would also like to remind councillors and other people attending the meeting that the fire exits are at the rear and sides of the room. There are no fire alarm tests planned for this evening. Could I also ask that everyone turns off their mobile phones or switches them to silent so that the meeting is not disturbed? I would like to remind councillors that when they speak, they are required to stand, if they are able to do so, to address the meeting. This is a requirement of the Constitution. The first item on the agenda is apologies for absence. I have had apologies from the following: councillors Baldwin, Howe, Paling and Shepherd, and honorary aldermen John Bush, Robert Shields, Tony Stott and Joe Tormey. Are there any other apologies? I'll now move on to item two. Disclosure of pecuniary interests and other registrable and non-registrable interests. I'll now call on the Chief Executive to report on disclosures of interests in the business to be considered at this meeting. Disclosable pecuniary interests and registrable interests relate to entries that are included or should be included on a councillor's register of interests. Non-registrable interests relate to any other matters.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have received no disclosures prior to the meeting. Are there any from the floor? There are no disclosures. Thank you.
Thank you. Item three, minutes of the previous meeting. I move that the minutes of the meeting of the Council held on the 4th of July 2022 be confirmed and signed as a correct record.
I second the minutes, Madam Mayor.
Does anyone wish to raise anything on the accuracy of the minutes? If so, please state the minute number. Since no issues have been raised, I take that to signify that the minutes are accepted as a correct record. Thank you. I'll now sign the official minutes I have here with me and pass them to Democratic Services for archiving. Next item is item four, announcements. First item is Mayor's announcements. I want to tell you about three upcoming events for my charity, Rainbows. The first one is on the 30th of September, and I can't really take any credit for this. It's an event that Morrisons are organising for Rainbows. It's to be held here, a charity ball and pie and pea supper. There's going to be live music, and Morrisons are providing all the expenses and also promise to match the funds raised at the event. So if you possibly can, it would be wonderful if people could attend. The second is on the 8th of October, and this again is for Rainbows, and it's abseiling Derby Cathedral. Now, if that doesn't appeal, and I must confess it doesn't appeal to me either, you might want to consider sponsoring Councillor Baines, who has agreed to do it. So if anybody hasn't already supported him and would like to, then please do support Councillor Baines in his endeavours. And the final item is on the 8th of November, which is a curry night at Eastern Spice. There'll be a grand raffle and there'll be prizes. I've had a magnum of champagne donated, so there will be other prizes as well. I know times are hard and this is making fundraising really hard. And so if you possibly can support one or more than one of these events, I would be very, very grateful, as will the people who use Rainbows. Thank you very much. Right, the next item is the leader's announcements. I call on the leader to make his announcements.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. So it's been a while since our last meeting, so quite a bit's happened, but I'd like to pay my thanks to the staff that have letters over the last few months, some to move closer to family, others to retire. Particularly like to pay my thanks to Eileen Mallon, who was our strategic director, community planning and housing, who stepped down on Friday. I know many people in this room were able to actually make her drinks or her farewell thanks over lunch in the breakout area, but also the drinks, I think, later on in the evening. But I pay huge amounts of thanks to Eileen, who's been a stalwart of Charnwood for many, many years. And I also congratulate Peter Oliver, who's become her replacement director, and also Kerry Barnshaw, who's also become a fellow director as well, and wish them well in their endeavours. I would also like, on a personal basis, to also, on behalf of all councillors, to congratulate Councillor Hunt, who was very, very rare for councillors to be appointed a government minister, as well as being a local councillor. I'm very, very impressed that Councillor Hunt is here this evening. Maybe hopefully waiting for calls over the next couple of days, but we wish her, her well, but also it's a huge pride for Charnwood to be associated with somebody who's also carrying out a national role as well. And on a personal level, on behalf of all councillors, I'd like to pay our good wishes to James' colleague, Ed Arger, who's MP for Charnwood, who got married this past weekend. And I know on behalf of all councillors, we pay our congratulations to him and his wife, Tish, and wish them all well for the future. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. I call upon the Chief Executive to make his announcements.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have no announcements to make.
The next item is item 5, petitions. Are there any petitions to be presented? No. I'll now move on to item 6. Capital Plan Out, 6.1, sorry, Capital Plan Outturn Report 2021-22. I call on Councillor Barclay to propose the item.
Madam Mayor, to ensure compliance with the financial regulations and the capital projects are completed, I move that the outturn position for 21-22 be noted and slippage of capital budgets totalling £36,370,400 being general fund £33,384 and housing revenue account £2,985,600 be carried forward into 22-23 and added to the new 3-year capital plan.
Do I have a seconder for this item?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I second this item and reserve my right to speak.
If any councillors would like to speak, can you please raise your hand? Councillor Mear.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think we had a go at this capital plan outturn report in performance scrutiny, and we've got it in full councillor in front of us. But if you look at the table on page 16, part B, page 16, it's a huge amount of slippage to go from 1 year to the next. £36 million requested. Actually, the year-to-date underspend is £41 million. So when you're putting a proposal forward for £50 million and you only spend £8 or £9 million, what have you been doing? You know, I know Bedford Square is on here, and I think some of my colleagues might mention Bedford Square, and we no doubt will get a report regarding how much we've overspent on that one. But that's only one tiny spend of what we promised to deliver to the residents of the borough. So if you look at the HRA account, and we go back a couple of years, the decision was taken to go to individual companies for certain aspects to deliver our repairs to our housing stock. And the proof is in the pudding. A year and a bit later, hardly any money has been spent on any of our tenants' houses. If you look at the £3 million spending, £3.5 million spending the HRA, I bet most of that was salary for our officers and running the service, not actually repairing the houses where we take the rent off our tenants. And you know, we've got 6,000 odd houses, nearly 6,000 houses, a few less now because right to buy has kicked in and we're starting to sell them off. But you know, when you promise to pay or use £8-9 million on the housing stock, but only spend £3 million, and the slippages on kitchens, bathrooms, toilets, What else? It doesn't bode well, and what you asked for hasn't been delivered. So where's the accountability and the follow-up? You know, where is to say, actually, we should have spent £9 million, we should have had contractors in place, we were promised those contractors last July, but this July, you know, 12 months, 13, 14 months on, we've just started to appoint a few, and maybe we'll get the work done and we'll slip it into next year and bank the rest, and that's what we've done. We've taken the tenants' money and bank the rest. And finally, I wanted to, because I've only got two minutes, is to do on the enterprise zone, £15 million, £2 million which we lent out. It was all internal borrowing, so the £13 million that's left hasn't been spent per se, but that £13 million isn't really available, really, is it? Because it's sitting already in our reserves internally to be borrowed. And I'm worried when it says it'll go into the next capital plan for the Cabinet to think up some schemes of how to spend that money. So it'll be with interest to see what pre-election pledges that you promised the electorate next year from this £13 million. Thank you very much, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Radford. Councillor Mercer.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm sure Councillor Poland could answer perhaps slightly more fuller than I can, but the reason why the money hasn't been spent on the housing stock is not one of lack of willingness, but simply because we're adopting a responsible approach, because the problems of COVID and the problems of actually getting the contractors, and I think it's far better to delay spending it and to spend it properly than spend it wrong. But Madam Mayor, also on page 17, I think it's worth drawing Council's attention to the fact that we have added 23 properties to our housing stock at a time when it's difficult to acquire properties. We've purchased 10 and 13 have been gifted.
Councillor Draycott.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. I also think we've got a very disappointing capital programme in front of us tonight. We're almost 6 months into the year. We've got 14% less spend per year from previous years, and as been said, slippage of over £36 million. I'd like to comment on a couple of the items that's in the new capital plan. Like Councillor Mayer, the enterprise zone, originally £15 million. £2 million has been used, but we're leaving £13 million sitting in the capital plan, not allocated or anything against that heading. The second thing is DFGs. Now, this money we're actually given. It's not our money, but for the last few years, every year, that money has not been spent. This mainly is for disabled adaptations. It can make such a difference to someone's quality of life having a disabled adaptation, and we're not spending the money. And then on the housing programme, it isn't just the pandemic, etc. Right, this has been going on for the last two contractors, Waits and Fortnum's, right? The money is not being spent, it gets carried forward every year. Tenants are paying their rent, increased rent, and they're getting less and less for their money. Not even priorities, for example, voids. We have so many empty council properties in this borough, yet we have people desperate for housing, Madam Mayor, and they are not being made fit to use or being put up for bidding for people to apply for. Priorities could be used, a bit more imagination in a capital plan. For example, the situation we're now in, we need cladding, we need solar panels, we need properties insulated better, for the future. No mention of those things in this capital plan at all. And like Councillor Mayor, the multi-contracts has not worked. The housing department are now tied with all these multiple contractors holding their hands, showing them actually how to do the work. The capital works is not being done and our stock is deteriorating. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Poland.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to say the work the officers have done this year in getting our contractors in place in the way we have has been exceptional. Councillor Draycott rightly points to the previous two contractors that we've had. And that is exactly the reason why we've adopted the system that we have. That is exactly the reason, so that we're not in the basket of any one supplier. That we're coming out of COVID, there was a backlog. We've suffered from that, like so much of the economy has suffered from that. But in addition to that, that's what the reasons that Councillor Draycott talks about in terms of the previous experience is exactly why that we have those different suppliers with different work streams. And as Councillor Mercer quite rightly points out, that we're preparing ourselves responsibly for the time ahead. I'm pleased to say that we are near the end of that process now in terms of getting the contractors in place. But again, I would dispute that is additional work necessarily. And the reason I say that is because although we had one supplier in place previously, the work the officers have ended up doing and have continued to do as a result of that has not been, I would imagine it's at similar levels, let's put it that way, to what's required in terms of once the contractor's in place, moving forward. It's trying something new, it's thinking a bit innovatively, but it's about getting the supplies in place in order to do exactly the kind of work that I know Councillor Draycott wants and I want, and exactly that. So things are in place to get that moving forward. But in addition to that, the work the officers have done in terms of liaising with residents, engaging with residents, and getting them involved in what we do, getting them involved in the ideas, has been superb in the last 12 months and beyond. And in terms of the void properties, there are more than I would like, but most of those are bed sits that are on the programme to be converted. Now, bed sits might have been fine in the 1980s, but they don't meet what the standard of what people want and rightly want to live in today. So we're doing the work on those to convert them into accommodation that people today want to live in. We're pushing forward with that. That's a priority of mine personally, and we are pushing forward with that. Thank you.
Just speed it up, please.
As there is no one else, Councillor Fryer, do you wish to comment?
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. I take note and I fully support Councillors Mercer and Poland in their statement. It's not for the want of wishing to get all this done, but it's got to be done correctly with the least inconvenience to our residents. And all of these plans, all of you will know that nobody expected in 2020 to go into virtually 2 years of lockdown and lose a lot of experienced staff across the country. I'm not talking about Charnwood, I'm talking about skilled staff. This is a very difficult job, and for our sake of all our residents, we have to get it done correctly, and all our enterprise zones, everything. We mustn't make bodges. So I'd rather delay it and get it right. I also appreciate the fact that a lot of our voids are bed sits. I don't know how many of you in this room would like to live in a bed sit where every night you have to make up your own bed because it's a sofa during the day. That was as it was, and these take time. I would also like to say that I personally... last year said it would take possibly up to 2 years minimum to get everything back on track. And I'm afraid to say it is. And that's across everything. Shops, businesses, finance, everything, a minimum. We lost an awful lot of very skilled workmen in every part of our country. Manufacturing, everything. So I fully support our officers. I support our lead members and I support our residents. Thank you very much, Madam Mayor.
I now call upon Councillor Barclay to sum up.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just point out this is the capital plan outturn report for the year ending the 31st of March 2022. So talking about 6 months in, we haven't spent any money. Well, we spent all the money we have. This is for the outturn for last year. It doesn't actually include this year. So I'm amazed the sort of comments coming forward. And it's worth noting that in the last 4 years to March 22, we've actually spent 40.6 million on the general fund. And the housing revenue account, where we've, according to my friends over here, we've done nothing, we've actually spent 22.2 million. As for the carry forward on the capital plan, 15 million of that, less 2 million, 13 million is being carried forward, and we are dependent on Charnwood Campus and LUSEP to come forward with projects. The reason we've allocated that, and it is funded, and it is available, and it will be carried forward, and there's no, we wouldn't be putting it in if we couldn't afford it. Well, what on earth would we create a capital plan where we haven't got the money to do it? We have, and it will boost Charnwood and the economy in a very difficult time. The regeneration project, again, we've got 15 million allocated that for that. There's two town deal projects in there. There's a Hope Bell project as well. Going forward, over the next 3 years, we intend to spend probably 70 million on the general fund and HRA. The standard of housing and the insulation has been dealt with years ago. We had a major project to get the insulation in the social housing up to date. So all in all, the reasons for the carry forward are very obvious. If you read the report, do be aware this is the capital outturn to the 31st of March 2022, and rest assured that we have a very solid capital program going forward to invest in our housing and in our borough. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. I'm now putting the motion to the vote. Could I see all those in favour? All those against? Any abstentions? Thank you. The motion is carried. I now move to item 6.2, Local Government and Social Care Ombudsman Review Letter. This is page 25 of your papers. I call upon Councillor Morgan to propose the item.
Madam Mayor, to comply with the guidance from the Local Government and Social Care Ombudsman, and that the monitoring officer should make members aware of upheld complaints on a periodic basis, I move that the Local Government and Social Care Ombudsman's appended review letter for 2021-22 and the summary of the upheld complaints as set out in Part B of this report be noted.
Councillor Rawlings.
Thank you. I second this, Madam Mayor, and reserve my right to speak.
If any councillors would like to speak, will you please raise your hand? Councillor Mear.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just very briefly, I recognise that the number of complaints is small, but a couple of the threes and fours paragraph three and four on page 27, a couple of the complaints have similar reasons for it being upheld, and that's we haven't explained to the complainant properly. So maybe that we can pick that up, especially on number four with antisocial behaviour. I don't know if all councillors are aware, but we can refer for triggers. But I think if anybody complains about ASB, and we know it's quite difficult sometimes to deal with it and to end it, but if somebody does come for a complaint to us or to officers, they should be told that if the council can't help, other agencies might be available to help, or ultimately we could do a community trigger, or they can call for a community trigger, and when all agencies will get involved. And I think that's important as well. So we don't get a further complaint going to the Ombudsman and being upheld as well. And maybe I don't know if the officers have stretched a little bit. I know there's only a couple of them in the in that department, but maybe before we respond back or when we get it, if we as councillors do the casework, we just want to make sure that that trigger has been highlighted for the resident if they want to take it further. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Draycott.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to just comment first on the actual letter of the Local Government Ombudsman, page 29, where he states, "It is my continued view that complaint functions have been under-resourced in recent years." And now that was before the pandemic. So these reports have referred to the fact that the complaint function's been under-resourced for a number of years. And that is a common theme throughout the council, Madam Mayor, that there is not enough staff anymore to do these serious issues. And I'd also like to also comment on one of the cases that was found against the council because the council didn't inform the complainant about community triggers. There's no point in informing people if the community trigger process doesn't work, and at the moment it doesn't work, Madam Mayor, because the fault is found to be the council, because the ASB section does not keep good enough data. So when you have the other agencies sitting around the table, they cannot use the data that we've got because it's inadequate. So if we're going to start telling people that, you know, you can apply for a community trigger, we really have to make sure that the data we keep, Madam Mayor, is up to date and adequate for its purpose for such a process. So I think the council really do need to look at that. It's not good enough just telling people it has to work. Thank you.
Don't see any more hands. Councillor Rowlings, you reserve your right.
Thank you. I think we would all like to sit here and look at a letter that's basically a nil return, but the reality is a council that deals with a population of over 180,000 people, that would be something that is incredibly difficult to achieve. We're not far off that. And the key point that I take from this letter is that 100% of recommendations have been dealt with. So yes, we'd like to have no complaints. Yes, we'd like to have no complaints upheld by the Ombudsman. But on the very few that are going that far, all recommendations have been implemented. In terms of Councillor Draycott's comment on the letter from the Ombudsman, it wasn't my interpretation that was specific to Charnwood. I thought that was a specific comment to councils in general, but ultimately resource is given to dealing with complaints, as you can see from the number that have got this far. Thank you.
I now call upon Councillor Morgan to sum up.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. Look, we always take the reports from the Local Government Ombudsman very, very seriously. Whenever any resident contacts me and are not happy with our internal complaints procedures, I will always say to them, please do contact the Local Government Ombudsman. I can guarantee that as a council, we will always comply with whatever recommendations they make to us. And as Councillor Rowlings has just said, sure enough, that is precisely what we've done. We are performing about average. We get the same number of complaints on average as other authorities of our size. We have a better response rate as far as responding to them, as the report sets out. And I think that commitment from us to make sure that if there are any errors, if there are any mistakes, that we actually learn from those and we actually do something about it, I think is commendable. And I certainly, it's a message I know that the Chief Exec and the directors are very keen to make sure that goes through the whole organisation. On the point of the ASB issue and triggers, councillors will obviously be aware that we've recently reshaped the ASB process, including a dedicated section on the website about taking people through ASB reporting. And I've just quickly checked, and actually the trigger process is on the website. We even have a standard letter that people can use to report the trigger. I can't check precisely when that was actually put in place, but hopefully, again, you know, we will always learn from anything that comes through. But I think internally, the review of the ASB process has been very beneficial for all of us.
but particularly for members having confidence that these things are actually responded to correctly. So thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm now putting the motion to the vote. Could I see all those in favour? Is there anyone against? Any abstentions? Thank you. The motion is carried unanimously. Item seven, call-in references. There are no call-in references from scrutiny. Item eight, position statements. A position statement on the cost of living is in the supplements pack. The statement will be introduced, and after that, councillors who wish can speak for up to 2 minutes each, and the discussion can last for up to 20 minutes. At the end of the discussion, there will be a summary. I'm expecting there will be quite a lot of people want to contribute, so can I ask that if all you want to say is that you agree with a previous speaker, that you don't need to do that, if we can just have new comments. So thank you very much. I call on Councillor Morgan to introduce the position statement regarding the cost of living.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think all of us have been incredibly aware of the dramatic rise in energy costs across the Western world as a direct result of Putin's invasion of Ukraine. Ukraine's fight for freedom has our full support, but the war and the resulting energy crisis will not end soon. We and the rest of Europe will need to dig deep to deal with Russia's disruption of energy supplies. Our new Prime Minister needs to be bold, but be also clear that the crisis is about Ukraine and the survival of democracy. Russia and Putin must not win that battle. Locally, we will do everything we can to quickly enact and support our national government's plan when it's announced over the coming week. We will also work to support our partners locally so that we can work alongside them to help our residents and businesses across Charnwood. Officers are currently putting together a workable plan, and any comments tonight will be fed through to them for Cabinet to resolve. And I will be asking at the end of this position statement that this position statement is referred to Cabinet as part of that work by officers. Members should also be aware that our own council is not immune to the crises. This autumn's medium-term financial strategy is likely to include an extra £1.3 million of spending to cover staff and energy costs. So ahead of our national government's plan, our council has put together a comprehensive support site with a link from our council's website from the very front page, which is directly comparable and of the same approach and quality of information from many other councils, including our neighbouring council at Leicester City Council. But I stress that the current situation in Ukraine and the resulting energy crises will not be over quickly. And our response, both internationally, nationally, and locally, needs to focus on residents and businesses, whilst also being sustainable for the long term.
Thank you, Councillor Morgan. If you wish to speak, can you raise your hand? Councillor Mear.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We were going to originally put this as a motion to council, but then we felt that it was important that everybody had a say in this motion, because it affects all of us. It affects our families, ourselves, people we know, our constituents as well, and it's going to be horrible, unfortunately, this winter coming. I'm glad to have read the response from the officers on this, because it does give some amount of reassurance that we've looked at it and we're planning things, but it doesn't negate our responsibilities as councillors in Charnwood when we have potentially possibilities that we can give to our residents to help. And those on low incomes, on health, who are unhealthy, for example. So gas and electricity prices are forecast to go up in October, and they're forecast to go up again in January. And I'm glad Jane's Councillor Hunt's been able to make it today, because our new Prime Minister has to make that decision probably in the next few days, whether she's going to help and support everybody in the country. But I'd like us to focus helping and supporting the people and the residents of Charnwood, because that's as far as our reach will be, and businesses as well. But although I think they will be getting help from other sources, no doubt. But let's have a look at what's happening in Charnwood, for example. So we have, at the last performance scrutiny, a report to us that detailed the reserves that we hold in council. And if you total all the reserves that we hold in council, it's nearly £20 million. It's £19.8 million that we hold. And we haven't built that reserves up from anywhere else, but from taxation and what's been given to us by central government. Some of that is earmarked, so we can't use it apart from those projects that are detailed. But we do have nearly, what, 16 million that isn't earmarked specifically. And working balances are about 6.5 million. Yes, we might have used some of them since this report was done, but we wouldn't have used £6.5 million of it. So
Councillor
we do
Mayor,
have.
You are out of time.
Sorry, Madam Mayor. I thought I'd just finish off that sentence if you don't mind. We do have reserves that we can use going forward, and I'd like to put that forward to the working panel of officers to consider that. Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you for being generous with the time.
Councillor Park.
I think the phrase specific beats generic comes to mind here. And what I did was I looked at the LGA website before looking at Charnwood Borough Council's website, and it was fascinating because the LGA have got a section on cost of living, and they've got an overarching strategy which then goes into three key bullet points. One of them relates to local regeneration, and we are doing that with the town deal, which is excellent. And then from there they go to about six layers: food insecurity and poverty, fuel and energy, health and well-being, money and debt, working with partners, skills and employment. And what I did, I just thought, well, I'll pick food insecurity and poverty. And there you have some best practice from around the country. And I looked at Coventry City Council, who map social supermarkets, and that's available on the website and on Google Maps, so you can find where to go, even if you want free food or the cheaper subsidised food. Colchester Borough Council, £25,000 to food banks, but split between different projects all around the County of Essex. And then closer to home, Notts County Council, improving access to affordable and nutritious food, food in our doorstep clubs for children and their families. So then it suggested that what we can do then is we can flag up these ideas and best practice to our councils. So at that point, I looked at our website, and I have to say that I was beyond impressed by Charnwood's website. Particularly, I'd like to thank you for the fact you've put a big emphasis on mental health. You keep your mental health in track, you've got a good chance of getting through this crisis. If that fails, you've got no chance. So I'd like to thank you for that. But there's one way we can feed into the council. Check that LGA website, there's a bulletin.
Thank you. Councillor Hamilton.
It's quite clearly necessary that all bodies that can help alleviate the forthcoming challenges for businesses and households really have an obligation to do so. And of course that includes Charnwood Borough Council. And as Councillor Mia earlier mentioned, we do have reserves, and I note that it is likely that Cabinet will be recommended to release funding from reserves to support voluntary and community groups to increase their resilience over winter and to deliver schemes that support residents. That's excellent to read that. Can I suggest that that recommendation actually be acted upon? And to give a possible scenario, a possible approach, we could set up a discretionary fund of, let's say, £500,000 for those households facing financial hardship. We could have it limited maximum payments of, let's say, £200 per household. And because we have to expedite things quickly, we could use the referral and eligibility criteria that Leicester County Council use for their household support funds. So there are things that are possible to do and do quickly using existing approaches elsewhere. And of course, we do have the funds, and they are there as you say, for a rainy day, and this is a particular storm that's coming our way. So I would recommend that that it is be acted upon that you do actually do release such funds from reserves to help our residents. Thank you.
Councillor Barclay.
Thank you. I think the position statement outlines clearly what we're going to do. There's no doubt about it. We do have reserves, but as you so succinctly reminded me in the last capital plan outturn report, 30 million is already allocated. We have £6 million worth of working balances. And looking at the medium-term financial strategy, by the end of the 3 years, we'll have 2 million working balances, which is the minimum that we need. Everybody is very aware of the cost of living crisis. I'm sure that the incoming government is as well. Personally, and I doubt there's anybody in this council chamber tonight who isn't going to be impacted by inflation, by the war in Ukraine, certainly we'll do everything we can. I do anticipate using some of the reserves that we've got some to help. There is already discretionary housing benefit, council tax support. These are things that we've had in place to help most vulnerable, and of course we'll continue to do that. But there is going to be help from the government, I'm sure of it. There's no getting away from the fact that the war in Ukraine has contributed significantly to inflation, to energy costs, and we've got to try and help everybody. And that's exactly what we're doing. Long before this position statement came up, we are very aware of the position. We thought about it for months, and all over the summer, officers have been working on it. And as the leader has just said, we're going to refer it to Cabinet, and I've given it a great deal of thought, and I would be surprised if every councillor hasn't. And you'll have residents in your wards who you can point in the right direction for assistance. It's very difficult to solve the problems of the world in Charnwood, and I think we will go and do everything we can to help people. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Poland.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As Councillor Barclay said, he's concerned. I'm concerned about the cost of living crisis. I myself look at the bill, work out what that's going to be in October, and it concerns me as much as it concerns anyone. But what I would say is, with that very much in mind, I've already had significant and ongoing conversations with my lead officers about what we can do to assist those residents of ours and what help we can provide them. So Charnwood has 6.8 full-time equivalent financial inclusion and tenancy support officers. Their job there is to support residents that might be on difficult times, and there's no question that it's going to get more difficult before it gets easier. So really my message is as much to anyone that might be listening outside this chamber as in here, and that is, if you're struggling, please get in touch with us. We're there to help you. Please do get in touch with us. We will do whatever we can to support you. I'm very aware of the difficult times ahead. The officers are likewise, as we all are. So please don't struggle in silence. Please get in touch with us, and we will do what we can to help.
Councillor Forrest.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, colleagues. Page 5. The Council will reinstate with its partners the Charnwood Community Action Group to help coordinate the response to cost of living pressures, and in particular food and fuel poverty. I commend the Council for this. I would commend the Council wholeheartedly. Were there more detail attached to this? What are the community action groups going to be asked to do? And how much money are they going to get to support them? Secondly, third paragraph on page 5, the council supports several community hubs which are providing drop-in access for residents to get advice and guidance. Well, that's all very well. Advice and guidance, that's just words. What I would like the Cabinet to commit to, and Councillor Barclay has already said, we have the reserves around the borough, not just in Loughborough, but in Loughborough, around the borough, church groups, community associations, parish councils are becoming aware of the impact of what is coming towards them, and many of them are looking to provide, called all kinds of different names, but warmth hubs to pay for a room, a church hall, a village hall, somewhere in Loughborough where people can go for an afternoon, be warm, have a hot drink, be in company, which will tick a lot of boxes: advice, guidance, mental health, health and well-being. There are plans to have a number of these all around. I will finish. Around, I would like to see this administration commit some money. It's not a huge amount of money, but it will give a lot of comfort to very many people. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Draycott.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm pleased that everybody's in agreement that this matter goes to Cabinet. It is very exceptional and very important. Three things I'd like the working group of officers to look at. First, at the last council meeting, I referred to food banks possibly having empty shelves quite soon. Despite the Cabinet lead pressing the officers, I still have not seen anything solid coming forward. You know, even a map setting out where the food banks and your store are in the borough on the website would be useful, but some sort of strategy across the borough needs to be set up for those people who are able to donate and to get those shelves ready for when the rush starts, and it will start, Madam Mayor. Second is regarding council tenants. During the pandemic, we had a phase where no evictions took place, and I really would like to see that reconsidered. I'm not quite sure what the timing would be. We have to see how it's going to pan out, this situation, but I think there will be a period where possibly we should look at helping a tenant keep their roof over their head. And third, as Councillor Forrest has referred to, we should be looking at warm banks being set up across the borough. And again, they should be on the website mapped out for people to know where to go to. But saying that, 30% of people in the borough do not have access to the internet. So there has to be other ways that we need to be letting people know where they can go to get help and assistance, radio, I don't know, other forms of communication. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Right, we've got two more speakers, and we are going to run out of time, but I'm going to allow these two speakers. Is there anyone else who's got something? Right, Councillor Seaton and Councillor Goddard. Right, after that, we close. So I've got Councillor Grimley next, then Councillor Mercer, Councillor Seaton, Councillor Goddard, and unless anyone else has got anything really different to add, then that's it. So, Councillor Grimley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I received a lot of good feedback during the pandemic and also with the energy rebate about how efficiently Charnwood did work and how efficiently they did get the monies across to businesses and that side of things. So just hoping that we can keep up the good work when we do get the know what the support is, we can get that money out as quickly as possible to help businesses in the borough.
Thank you. Councillor Mercer.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. It's not often I praise Councillor Meir, but I think on this occasion he's done an excellent job in raising this issue. And I knew that we were doing something, but I was very surprised at how much we were actually doing. And I think although we're going well beyond what I suspect are our statutory responsibilities, I think it's very welcome. And the leader made the important point that if we had any more ideas, we should feed them to the officers. And I think having spoken to the comms team at Eileen's Leaving Do, I said what an excellent job I thought they'd done with the website, and the link is in the response to the request for the position statement. And they said if any of us have any other ideas that could be added to the website, particularly ideas for how people can perhaps save money, then that's welcome. So if any of you have any ideas, feel free to get in contact with the Commons team.
Councillor Seaton.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Hopefully what I'm going to say is something that we all do anyway. We became councillors because we realise we've got a responsibility to the residents and the communities in our area. And we have spoke about Charnwood, what our council should do, but what we should be talking also is what our councillors could do, going round all the groups that serve in my community, as in Thurmaston, and letting them know we have a food bank in Thurmaston, which is no different from all of your communities. We'll have a small food bank you can point them to electricity funding, be able to get help for that as well. So it is very important for us also to get out and meet our community and let them know that there is help out there. And Charnwood will provide that help if they possibly can. Thank you.
And finally, last but not least, Councillor Goddard.
Thank you. So I think like everyone in this room, we, with the new Prime Minister today, we were hoping that a real statement would come forward so we actually would be needing to have this discussion today. But we are where we are. I just really wanted to put forward, I know we've had discussion about how this is affecting all of us, but how desperate some of our residents are. So when that decision is being made about what funding is going to be made available, that we understand how desperate it is at this point for many of our residents. In 2020, 5,929 of our children in the borough were living in poverty. That was before the 54% rise of fuel costs in April. That was before the 82% October rise, and that's before the January rise. You know, the Loughborough University report has said we are £1,600 short for two children families. And at the moment, this is great, but it's not enough to fill that gap. And I understand that we can't completely fill that gap, that some of that has to come from central government. I just also wanted to put forward actually what we're experiencing out there. You know, I work in a school, and we're at the point in schools where we've got parents asking us for help. Not for school uniform, not for school trips, for help paying the bills. We can't do that. And hopefully someone in Charnwood can, and we can put this forward. I was talking to a resident recently. She's had her bill come through, and she's been told she doesn't up her direct debit. She's going to be, this time next year, £1,500 in debt. She cannot afford to go up. She's had to phone them to say, don't put my direct debit up. I'll deal with the debt in a year's time, see what happens. I can't afford it. And we've got loads and loads of residents going through that. I also just wanted to ask as well, when will you be communicating with the community centres about this help? Okay. And also, when will the energy study be completed and acted upon by Savills as well? I think that covers up pretty much.
Thank you everyone for your contributions. Councillor Morgan, would you like to sum up?
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor, and thank you to all of those councillors who spoke today. I think we've had about a dozen, and I think it demonstrates the passion and commitment, I think, of all councillors. Councillor Seaton, you mentioned about councillors need to support their communities. I think this is a continuing message that we always talk about and have done, particularly through the pandemic. This is particularly important now as well, so thank you very much for those comments. Councillor Meir, thank you very much for raising this. As Councillor Mercer said, it's an issue that officers have been working on. I've been talking with the Chief Exec for over the whole of the summer period. Officers have been working very, very hard on this, so it's a good moment to raise it. It's a good opportunity for everyone to be aware of the work that's been done. So much has been done often by officers without necessarily a wider understanding or appreciation of what's been done in the background. Councillor Parson, absolutely agree about mental health, but also good practice. And I think in Charnwood, we are very, very proud of the good practice that we demonstrate. During the pandemic, we were often cited by national government for what we were actually doing in way of supporting businesses and our residents.
And I'm very, very proud of the fact that we are often ahead of everyone else, but we will always be willing to learn, and that's important that sort of case studies are shared. Councillor Hamilton, thank you very much. All ideas will be fed through, particularly the points that you raise. Councillor Barclay is absolutely right. The plan needs to be robust and sustainable. Councillor Poland, the help for those who are struggling, get in contact. We have teams available who can talk. Always refer people through. That conversation is important. People need to start having that conversation. Don't go to loan sharks. Talk to us first, see what we can do. We work with strategic partners such as our credit union who can actually provide practical support that maybe will avoid people going down the route of loan sharks. Councillor Forrest, this is being worked on, the details being worked on at the moment. As you're aware from the points that I've made and also in the report, it's coming forward very, very soon. So as soon as all the details are available, it will go through scrutiny, it will come to Cabinet, all councillors will have that level of information. You will have it as quickly as we can get it together. So rest assured, the detail is coming. And that's also about talking to our support network as well to make sure that it's practical support that our partners need and want to make sure that we actually tailor what we're doing correctly. Councillor Draycott, I think you raised the issue about your store, absolutely right about the locations. I've just had a quick look on the our cost of living section on the website. It links through to your store locations, and it's really important that people actually know where those are because that's a network that's going to be ever more important. Councillor Grimley, efficiency of support for businesses. We often talk about residents, but businesses are critical to survival over the next year or two. Not only are they the lifeblood of our community, but also they are big employers, and we need to make sure that it's residents and businesses that we talk about in everything that we do, and absolutely we will be as efficient over the coming weeks as we were through the pandemic. Councillor Mercer, I've flagged your comments, thank you for those. And Councillor Goddard, we will communicate repeatedly and again and again and again. And I can't remember which councillor raised it, the issue about not just on the internet, I think it might have been Councillor Draycott. It is about beyond the internet. We have to make sure that we actually communicate in every stream that we can, whether it's through our in-house magazines, whether it's directly to residents, whether it's through billboards, if those are what's required. But we will make sure that communication is ongoing. And the level of detail, once we have it, will be flooded through, and hopefully we will be working with everyone to make sure that as a community and as a business community that we can get through what is a crisis affecting not only our country and our community, but the whole of Western Europe as well. Thank you. Sorry. Madam Mayor, apologies. I meant to say, can I please refer this to, I'd like to propose that this is referred to Cabinet as part of our further consideration. And
Madam Mayor, I'd like to second that.
Thank you. I guess I need to put that to the vote. Thank you. Can I see all those in favour of referring this item to Cabinet? That is carried unanimously. Thank you. My apologies. The next item, item 10, question on notice, Limehurst Depot. The question that Councillor Meir has submitted and the answer is in the supplements pack. I understand that Councillor Meir does not wish to ask a supplementary question relating to Limehurst Depot. Councillor Meir, can you confirm that that's correct? Thank you. I'm now moving on to item 11, minute references. There are no minute references. Item 12, urgent executive decisions exempt from calling. This is page 31. This is a report to inform the council of decisions which were exempt from calling in accordance with Scrutiny Committee Procedure 11.9. If any councillors would like to ask a question, please indicate your wish to do so by raising your hand. Councillor Meir.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just wanted to touch on the discretionary council tax energy rebate scheme, but not that bit, the £150 bit, actually. It's to, because I've been contacted by some residents who don't seem to have been credited it, maybe thought the letter was a mail shot from the post office, the one, But then we've got the email and the press release to say actually they'll be credited to their bank account. So I just wanted to, sorry, not to the bank account, to their council tax bills. But some residents might need the money to pay for energy rather than their council tax. So I was just wondering if there was a mechanism in place, if they then see the credit on their council tax bill, could they have that refunded back into their bank account maybe, or however they get it, so they can pay their energy bills. Thank you.
Madam Mayor, thank you very much, Councillor Mayor. I think I need to actually refer that back to the Chief Exec and his team to give you an answer to that. I've got a feeling this is part of a national scheme, so I'm not entirely sure what the arrangements are nationally in relation to that. You're absolutely right. If people haven't actually cashed their post office voucher, then it does automatically then credit to their council tax to make sure that they actually get the money one way or the other. But hopefully most people have actually cashed the money directly, or of course they received it through their direct debit process in the first instance. But as ever, as Councillor Grimley reminded, you know, we have been extraordinarily good at getting money through to people, and I would hope that somehow we can make sure that everyone gets the money that they've been due. Thank you.
I see no more raised hands, so I'm going to move on to item 13, Delegation of Executive Functions. This is page 42. This is a report to inform the Council of delegations of executive functions. If any Councillor would like to ask a question, please indicate that you wish to do so by raising your hand. Councillor Draycott, Councillor Mear. Councillor Mear first.
Okay, whichever way that's fine. Cheers, thank you very much. I don't mean to whinge, as they say, but in this delegation of executive functions, the paragraph, or the fourth one down, about delegating all executive functions to Councillor Morgan, which I understand at COVID time, but I don't understand why we did it in the middle of summer when we had the meeting 4 days before or 3 days before on the 4th, and this wasn't raised at all at that meeting, and why the need was when 99% of everything outside is back to normality. So maybe Councillor Morgan can explain why he took on the executive powers again to make all decisions and negate his cabinet, basically. Thank you.
Do you wish to respond or wait to see what Councillor Draycott's got to say?
I'll wait.
Councillor Draycott.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. Similar vein, I can see why there was a need for the leader to delegate to himself the executive functions and decisions for 3 months because of after the first year of the pandemic. It has, though, been continued now 5 times. And as the pandemic, we're being told, is waning and at a lower level now prior to 2019, is it not time for the leader to instead go back to the leader stroke cabinet model, thus more democracy in this council again? Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. It's tempting to say that I'm power crazed and I want all of this power, but of course, I've never actually exercised any of these powers. They have been there as emergency backstops. In particular, we decided to roll it forward, having talked with Karen and Adrian about there was one particular cabinet meeting where there was a critical item coming to the cabinet meeting. There was a particular risk that we might not be quorate, and as a result, we decided this was actually sensible as an absolute backstop to make sure that the business of the council could carry on in process. I haven't exercised any of these powers. I sincerely hope I never, ever have to. The pandemic was an exceptional period. They have been rolled on specifically in relation to one particular cabinet meeting where we were very concerned as to whether or not we were going to be quorate. But hopefully it will lapse at some point. But to be frank, I never knew that these powers existed before the pandemic. It's tempting as ever, of course, Councillor Draycott. I'm sure you probably think I'm very tempted to actually keep these powers forever. But like the best Marvel characters in Marvel films, not exercising the powers is more important than actually using them. But it's important that for us as a council, that there is an emergency backstop. Thank you.
Madam Mayor, just a point of order. On page 42, section 1, it does state that on the 30th of April, the leader delegated to himself all executive functions. That's how I read it, Councillor Morgan.
You wish to respond, Councillor Morgan?
But nothing there again. As I said, it's an emergency backstop. It doesn't necessarily mean that you actually do something just because you have the powers to do something. Cabinet has always carried on processing. We had a couple of meetings where during the height of lockdown and pandemic, we couldn't actually physically meet because the powers that national government had given us ceased to exist, but we had COVID cases and we couldn't meet. In those instances, Cabinet made the decisions or made the recommendations, and on their behalf, I made the decisions. But that's how the process works. As I said, to use powers as an individual has not been needed. We've continuously had Cabinet making recommendations, and hopefully, touch wood, we will never actually need those powers again. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm now going to move on to item 14, appointment to committees. Are there any appointments or changes to appointments to committees? I see no raised hands, so I take it that there are not. Thank you, everyone. I'm going to close the meeting now, and thankfully we've not had any technical problems this meeting, so thank you to our technician. The next scheduled meeting is the 7th of November, 2022. Thank you, everyone.